and good morning. For the first time in almost 4 months, let me welcome you back inside Kauffman Stadium. My name is Josh Vernier, Royals insider for 96.5 The Fan, broadcasting live from Royals Fan Fest 2025. I'll be out here until 12 noon, but the party's going throughout the afternoon. Hopefully you've purchased your tickets on your way out to the K right now. If not, well, just have a seat and take a listen, because coming up over the next 3 hours, we're going to talk to all of the big wigs for the big league club, from Bobby Witt Jr. to the newest face, Jonathan India, Cy Young Award candidate in Cole Ragans, the manager, Matt Quatrero, the general manager, J.J. Piccolo, and much more in between. The text line's always there for you if you have your Royals questions, your Royals concerns. Feel free to pose those questions, and I'll do my best to get them answered. Our text line number is 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. As the 2025 Royals rally is set to kick off, I can't help but start with, well, that year, 2025. The 10-year anniversary of the 2015 championship that holds such a special place in so many of our hearts. But not only the 10-year anniversary of 2015, obviously the 40th anniversary of the 1985 championship season. So as we get ready to look ahead and celebrate what was a great 2024 and what could be an even better 2025, man, do we have an exciting summer forthcoming with the celebrations, the bobbleheads, and the reunions that are likely to come to Kauffman Stadium over the course of the next 7 months. And I want to start right there, because before we start bringing your favorite players and the decision makers into this suite in which I'm broadcasting from, I want to give you my spring training six-pack of storylines. Six questions that I have right now as I'm sitting just about a week and a half away from hopping on that bird and flying out to Phoenix for Royal Spring Training 2025. I am thankful that I'll be making my 13th trip out to Arizona to cover our boys in blue. But to begin, the six questions that I have coming into this season, they vary from on the field to off the field all the way into the stands, and that's where I think we need to begin. As 2015 and 1985 get their celebratory summer, is there a new standard in Kansas City? Not just the team, because I can promise you, and you'll hear from Bobby and Cole and the skipper and the rest, I can promise you that these guys have tunnel vision right now, that they had an appetite at the end of last season after being bounced into ALDS by the New York Yankees, an insatiable hunger to get back and to get deeper and to hopefully put up another pennant, another World Series banner here at Kauffman Stadium. But I'm even talking about you, the fan base. Is there a new standard now with Kansas City Royals baseball? You know, we bring up 2015, and I've talked about it countless times, that when that team showed up to spring training, they were out for blood. Someone was going to pay for the pain that they felt in 2014, and they wanted to play someone in another jersey. I don't care if it's a spring training game, an inner squad game, or a big league game. They just wanted to beat somebody at baseball, beat them thoroughly. 1985, you know the kind of motivation that George Brett had after falling short in 80 and throughout the 70s. You know, the mindset of the 85 team, even coming off a playoff run in 84, the mindset of the 85 team, the mindset of the 2015 team wasn't about individual stats. It wasn't about, well, I hope we can do this, I think we can do that. No, it's we're going to do it, and whoever dares stand in our way is going to get run the blank over. So that's what I want to know from you. That's what I hope to find out throughout spring training and into the early months of the regular season. Is there a new standard when it comes to this team? from obviously the guys in royal blue, but also the men and women in the stands wearing the royal blue. Is there a new standard? Because I go back to Salvador Perez. When the Royals clinched that playoff spot last season and the clubhouse is going nuts, Salvi's talking with Joel Goldberg of FanDuel Sports, right? And he tells Joel that, yeah, I hope we win the championship here in 2024, but even if we don't, this is who we are now. I believe we'll be fighting for the postseason for years to come. That comes from the great number 13. That's what he's saying in the midst of a celebration after his team goes to the postseason for the first time in 9 years. So Salvi's showing up to spring training. Salvi always shows up to spring training with a championship mindset, but I want to know if that is now mirrored in the stands. So is there a new standard for the Kansas City Royals? That's question number one. Number two, can they offset the likely regression that is coming from this rotation? Now, it's not solely about Brady Singer being traded away. No, Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo combined for the best duo that this organization has ever seen. With all due respect to Brett Saberhagen and Mark Kubica in the late 80s, that duo had quite the run. And if you want to make a case that those two for 88 and 89 were the best duo this franchise has ever seen, I'm not going to fight you. But in 1 year, what Lugo and Reagans did last year, man, that's going to be tough to duplicate. Are they capable of duplicating it? Of course they are. Am I banking on it? Am I banking on them taking the ball 30-plus times? Michael Wacha taking the ball 30-plus times? I would love to. But I can't expect two of the five best pitchers in the American League to once again reside in the Royals rotation. Happy that Michael Lorenzen is back. Looking forward to watch the battle for that number five spot in the rotation. But if the starting pitching, because let's remember last year, the reason why that team was able to get to the postseason for the first time in nearly a decade was because they had the most powerful weapons in the game of baseball, or the three things that, when combined, give you the most powerful weapon in baseball: starting pitching, defense, and base running. Well, the defense and the base running should hold firm, should be strong once again in 2025. But if that rotation isn't one of the five best in baseball, how do they make up for it? Bullpen, offense, right? Those would be the two places that you're going to look. Those are the two aspects of this team where you're saying, if I can get improvement there, that'll offset the regression from the rotation, and there's no reason why this team can't improve on their 86 wins of a season ago. So, to piggyback off of can they offset the likely regression from the rotation, the question is, can they find power in the corners? Third base, first base, left and right field. Now, if you read what Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic wrote over the past 24 hours, you find out that the Royals made an offer for Anthony Santander before he inked a five-year deal with the Toronto Blue Jays. So the first choice of J.J. Piccolo in this organization to offset that regression from the rotation was to bring in, with all due respect, the modern Kendrys Morales, right? That's what I see when I see the switch hitting Anthony Santander, which is exactly what this offense needed. Switch hitting power threats to play right field. Royals, according to Ken Rosenthal, offered 3 years at $66 million. He took 5 years, $97 million from the Toronto Blue Jays. So without an Anthony Santander, again, the question is, can they find power in the corners? MJ Melendez in left, Hunter Renfroe in right. They have power, you know that, I know that. We've seen it from MJ over the past two seasons, especially in the second half of the season. And we saw it from Hunter Renfroe prior to a knee injury last season. Remember, Hunter Renfroe had a nice, I want to say it was July, a nice month and a half beginning in the month of June. So we know it's in there. Can they do it consistently? Can you get some sort of power from the third base position? Listen, I know the Royals with Salvi and Bobby are getting more production than the average catcher and shortstop provide. So that can offset a below average offensive output from a third, a left, or a right. But you need some sort of power threat to come around Vinny, Salvi, and Bobby, because as we saw last season, those three can do a lot. They can carry you quite far, but they can't carry you completely over the hump. So the six-pack, my spring training six-pack of storylines from the new standard, the regression from the rotation, power in the corners, and how good does this bullpen need to be? That, to me, is question number four. Obviously, they should be better with the addition of Carlos Estevez, who's just about to be introduced to the Kansas City media here at Kauffman Stadium. Throw him in there with Lucas Erceg and a Hunter Harvey and Angel Zerpa, Sam Long, James MacArthur, Carlos Hernandez, Chris Bubich, Alec March. I mean, there are plenty of big-time arms available for this team in the bullpen. But my question is, how good do they need to be? Do they need to be top five in baseball? Do we need them just to be above average, just top 15 in Major League Baseball? Now, it's tough to answer that question without seeing how this rotation is going to line up, how Lugo and Reagans and Waka are throwing. But going into spring training, that's something that I'm going to be keeping my eye out on. Because with the questions that you and I have about the power in the corners, with the questions we have about the possible regression from the rotation, bullpen might need to be the best in the division, the best in the American League. Question number five, really not even a question more so than it is a hope, a wish, maybe an expectation. But the fifth question of these six-pack of storylines is, will the front office flex continue? Now, we're right across the street from, or right across the parking lot from Arrowhead, right? And Brett Veach, Chiefs general manager, has been putting on a clinic for years. Now, obviously had a head start on J.J. Piccolo, got the job a lot earlier than J.J. Piccolo did, but this Royals front office has been on its game since being tabbed to serve as the leaders for this organization by John Sherman. Can that continue? Can JJ and the rest of his front office, can this pitching department of Brian Sweeney and Zach Bove and Paul Gibson and the rest, can they continue to flex on the rest of Major League Baseball? No, they must. Honestly, they must if you're going to continue to be a small market team and find your way into October. You must hit, as I've said, at a 70-75% clip. And they've certainly done that. You know, I just mentioned a bunch of those bullpen names. You know, Erceg, Harvey, the signing of Estevez, the offseason, the free agent signing of a Sam Long. That's a reflection of great scouting, decision makers at the top of this organization, and a pitching department that is now one of the things you sell when sitting in front of a free agent. You know, look at what this pitching department has done for a John Schreiber, a James MacArthur. Look at how they helped Michael Wacha, Brady Singer, so on and so forth. It's now a strength of this team to where pitchers want to come to Kansas City to be a part of, yeah, Bobby and Vinny and Salvi, sure. But they want to be around this coaching staff, this modern thinking, analytically driven pitching department. And then my final question heading into the season, heading into spring training, I should say. The final storyline, and we're already starting to get our answer. But the final storyline is, how long does ownership want to see what a wild card team looks like? Now, maybe that moment isn't burned into your memory the way that it is mine. But the day that J.J. Piccolo became the executive vice president and general manager of the Kansas City Royals, John Sherman said, our previous general manager, Dayton Moore, often talked about building a championship team and what a championship team looked like. And Royals owner John Sherman said, that's all well and good, but I want to know what a wild card team looks like. Right? I want to get in the dance. Because as we all learned in 2014, if you can just get in the dance, anything can happen. Well, Mr. Sherman and the rest of this ownership group, they saw what a wild card team looked like last year. And that was a lot of fun. It would be a lot of fun this year. But he's a competitor. And that ownership group is littered with competitive men and women, business men and women, rich men and women. When does that competitiveness override maybe good judgment? When do you start throwing money to see what a championship team looks like? As I say this, I'll acknowledge an additional $22 million thrown on to the payroll over the past 48 hours with the addition of reliever Carlos Estevez. So it looks like they're spending more money this year than they did last year. But trade deadline, in-season acquisitions, when do we start to see championship is the goal? Not just getting in there, but winning the whole thing. So again, the six-pack of storylines as we broadcast live from Kauffman Stadium, Royals Rally 2025. The storylines that I'm most intrigued heading into spring training, the standard. Is there a new standard? How do you offset the likely regression from the rotation? Can they find power in the corners? How good does the bullpen need to be? Will the front office flex continue? And how long does ownership want to see what a wild card team looks like? Well, by my count, there are four roster spots up for grabs as spring training approaches. So big names right now. We're on the outside looking in. Find out who after this.
You're listening to Josh Fernier, live from Royals Rally at Kauffman Stadium.
And the pitch. Swing and a line drive. One hop to Junior. He backhands. Long throw. Got him.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, I'll tell you this right now. I would not want to stand in the box against Carlos Estevez. The newest Royals reliever, Royals closer, is being introduced downstairs at Kauffman Stadium right now. It's a big dude. Rocking number 54 for the Kansas City Royals. Last Royal to wear number 54. What is it? Frazier? Didn't Jason Frazier wear 54? I don't know. Carlos Estevez, the newest Royals reliever, will join us coming up in just under 1 hour from right now. Bobby Witt Jr. going to swing by at 9:45 as we broadcast live from Royals Rally 2025. My name is Josh Fernier, Royals insider, getting ready for year number 13 as your Royals insider on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Royals baseball. For more than 15 years now. All right, taking a look at the roster real quick before we bring Bobby Witt Jr. in. Obviously, Bobby's on the team. I'll put my neck out there. I'll stick my neck out there. I'll say Bobby's on the team. But honestly, as I'm starting to piece it together, and this is, you know, knock on wood, everybody stays healthy throughout spring training, I see four spots that are open on this squad right now. I see one spot in the bullpen, and three on the bench. Because we know Bobby and Vinny and Jonathan India, Michael Massey and Mikel Garcia, to me, are locks. Now, Mikel Garcia, as J.J. Piccolo hinted yesterday with Cody and Gold, Mikel Garcia going to be seeing some center field in spring training. As you know, Jonathan India can play second, played a little bit of third base back in the day. Michael Massey, seen him at third, not very often, but at second base as well. So, you know, just the numbers game with Bobby at short, Vinny at first, Indian Massey possibly taking up second and third respectively. Yeah, they're going to give a look to Mikel Garcia in the outfield. But obviously, Kyle Isbell, MJ Melendez, Hunter Renfroe, to me, locks in the outfield. And then your backstops in Salvi and Freddie Fermin. So, add that up, that's 10 position players, which leaves three roster spots open. And to me, the three spots that are open, yes, bench spots, but one of them must be a center fielder. Even if Mikel Garcia can moonlight out there, I still want another option of someone that can go get it, and I have confidence that they can get it in this mammoth ballpark. So a Dairon Blanco, a Joey Weimer, Drew Waters, I'll be battling for that spot in just a few weeks out in Arizona. You're going to need, in my opinion, a left-handed utility bat. Infield, outfield, utility, but a guy that hits from the left side. Right now, a pair of non-roster invites in Harold Castro and Kevin Biggio look like they'll be vying for that spot on the bench. And then there'll be one open roster spot remaining. Nick Lofton, Nelson Velasquez, Nick Prado, Tyler Gentry. I see battling for that. And then you look at the pitching staff, and yeah, one spot right now, in my opinion, is open. Because Reagans, Lugo, Waka, and Michael Lorenzen are locks for the rotation. Lucas Erceg and Carlos Estevez. Hunter Harvey, and to me, Sam Long's a lock. Chris Stratton, John Schreiber, those guys are on the team. Whoever doesn't win that fifth and final rotation spot between Chris Bubich and Alec Marsh, I think that guy grabs a spot in the bullpen. So again, add it up. That's 12 arms right there. So listen to the grouping of relievers that right now are on the outside looking in. James MacArthur, Angel Zerpa, Daniel Lynch. Carlos Hernandez is out of options, so if he doesn't make the team, he's not going to make the team, not going to make the organization, likely will be on his way out. You know, Kyle Wright's going to take a while before he's 100%. There's no need to rush him right out of the gate. And yeah, I would be shocked if a Jonathan Bolin or an Evan Sisk or a Steven Cruz were to make the roster. So that's how I see it right now. Four spots are up for grabs. A lot of familiar faces, as it should be, right? It was this time last year where we were marveling at the fact that of the 26 guys that ended 2023, there was, you know, half a dozen of them were returning. A lot of overhaul from 23 to 24, not as much from 24 to 25. It's funny how that works. Lose 106 games and all of you can hit the road, go to the postseason, and welcome back, my friends. Speaking of, did Kansas City have the division's best offseason? Detroit, Minnesota, Cleveland, Chicago? We'll take a look around the American League Central because I believe, once again, for the second straight winner, the Royals won. Yeah, I think so. I'll explain after this.
You're listening to Josh Fernier, live from Royals Rally at Kauffman Stadium.
And the pitch. Swing and a line drive. One hop to Junior. He backhands. Long throw. Got him.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Pleased to be with you. Live from Kauffman Stadium, site of Royals Rally 2025. My name is Josh Vernier, the Royals insider for 96.5 The Fan. Spring training just about 2 weeks away. You know, nobody will have it covered better than your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. And taking a look around the American League Central, Carlos Estevez, who right now is being introduced downstairs here at the K, he'll join us coming up in about 45 minutes from now. Introduce the hard-throwing righty to Royals fans everywhere. Bobby Witt Jr. going to swing by in about 15 minutes, so stay with us. J.J. Piccolo, Matt Quatrero, Cole Reagans, Jonathan India, amongst others scheduled to stop by. But prior to the Estevez signing, it felt like the Royals hadn't done a lot. Now, some of that goes back to what I mentioned just a moment ago. They were good last year. They have a lot of good young talent, some good, really good starters. You don't need to overhaul the roster. You don't need much turnover. So that played a small part in it. But when you look around this American League Central, if you're thinking, wow, the Royals, yeah, okay, they traded Singer, acquired India, they brought Waka and Lorenzen back, but that's not like an improvement over last season. You had Waka, you had Lorenzen. You know, you really didn't lose anybody of note, you know, DeJong and Tommy Pham, Will Smith. But it just felt like, man, you wanted that big splash. You wanted Santander. You wanted Estevez. And Well, thankfully, you got the latter. But I look at the Royals, a team that won 86 games a season ago, and, you know, my little formula, you know, looking at wins above replacement of some of the moves that they made, I think they've added another win or two to their total. But there's only one other team in the American League Central that I believe can make a similar case, that they've added to their win total with offseason moves. I mean, Cleveland. To me, Cleveland, yeah, they bring Shane Bieber back, but they lose two arms out of their rotation. They traded away a couple of relievers, Eli Morgan being one of them, replacing him with Paul Sewald. They traded away their Gold Glove second baseman in Andrés Giménez. They traded away Josh Naylor, their all-star first baseman, replacing him with Carlos Santana. To me, Cleveland, a team that won 92 games a season ago, by my formula, they've lost more than three wins off of their total. So they've come back to the pack. You know, the only other team in the division, to me, that added to their win total for 2025 are the Detroit Tigers. Because they really didn't lose anything of note. They signed Alex Cobb away from Cleveland. They signed second baseman Gleyber Torres and reliever Tommy Kahnle, both from the Yankees. Now you're hearing rumors of them possibly being interested in Alex Bregman. Now, Chicago's the biggest market in this division, but they have a long way to go. Detroit's a top 10 market. I'm wondering if any team, you know, I mentioned earlier, when do we see this organization throw money at a championship? I don't want to say stupid money. I don't want them to make bad decisions. But bottom line, will any team in this division spend a lot of money? Detroit, to me, is the most likely. But Detroit, to me, still only added a couple of wins to their total. So, like, I have Kansas City at 87. I have Detroit at 88. I have Cleveland at 89. So this division is up for grabs. You know, Minnesota, I don't know what Minnesota's doing. Now, they lost a few relievers. They lost Carlos Santana and Max Kepler. They haven't added anything of note. And then, again, the White Sox, there's no reason to even go over their offseason. Right? Yoan Moncada and Nicky Lopez are gone. Garrett Crochet's gone. They might trade Luis Robert away. They made a couple of nice additions. The White Sox bringing in utility infielder Josh Rojas and lefty starter Martin Perez. But Chicago has a long way to go. Minnesota needs to do something before they can join the mix. To me, Minnesota's on the outside looking in. This is a three-horse race right now in the American League Central. And of those three horses, there's really only two of them that, to me, appear to be racing, right? Cleveland, it appears, is resting on its laurels of, we'll find pitching within our organization. We have a few bats down in the minor leagues. These guys will take care of it. A very small market approach. Understandable, right? If you believe you don't need to break the bank, you know, that's what Cleveland's going to do. That's what Tampa's going to do. But as John Sherman's quick to correct me often, yeah, we respect what Tampa and Cleveland have done. We'll take things from them. But in no way are we trying to mirror them, replicate what they do. We want to do it our own way, right? We pay Bobby Witt Jr. We don't let Evan Longoria and Blake Snell and Francisco Lindor all walk out the door. We take care of ours. So, yeah, we're operating in Kansas City like a small market team, but with truly competitive men and women in that ownership group. So look around the American League Central right now. The case can be made that for a second straight winter, J.J. Piccolo, John Sherman, and this organization are walking away with the off-season trophy. And I know that's not a real thing, but Royals fans, you got to understand where I'm coming from. The fact that this organization, back-to-back off-seasons, has dominated their division, I don't think that's happened since Ewing Kauffman was the owner. Right? I mean, you look at 2014, 2015, and the off seasons going into it. Now, 2015, bringing in the Volquez and Morales, that turned out to be a great move. But I don't think that was duplicated in 2016. I don't think that happened in 2014. Back-to-back off-season division titles. I don't think that's happened since Mr. K was at the helm. Not to mention breaking off Bobby Witt Jr. with the biggest contract in franchise history. And speaking of the great number seven, Bobby Witt Jr., Jonathan India, Carlos Estevez, it's about to start picking up here from Kauffman Stadium. The guys are going to be swinging by my suites, sitting down and talking some Royals baseball. Bobby Witt Jr. joins us after this.
You're listening to Josh Fernier, live from Royals Rally at Kauffman Stadium.
And the pitch. Swing and a line drive. One hop to Junior. He backhands. Long throw. Got him.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Inside Kauffman Stadium, I'm Josh Fernier. This is Royals Rally 2025. It's going on all afternoon long. I'm hanging out until 12 noon. We'll hand things off to K-State basketball at that time. Royals fans, if you have questions, concerns, something that you want me to pose to Matt Quatrero, J.J. Piccolo, feel free. Shoot me your question. Hit me up on the text line. 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. From the 918, baseball is back. Let's go Royals. From the 816, way to kick off 2025. Great show, signed Victor in Raytown. 913, curious if Michael Massey has the arm for third base. I wouldn't say every single day. I think Jonathan India would get that look first. We'll see how it shakes out in spring training. From the 816, Vern, I was thinking about how boring today was going to be without football. But now you've perked up my hope for some interesting radio. Well, hopefully delivering on that interesting radio is Royals all-star shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. will join us coming up momentarily. Jonathan India, the aforementioned second baseman, formerly of the Cincinnati Reds, one half of the return for Brady Singer, who will be in Arizona coming up in spring training, but out in Goodyear with the Cincinnati Reds. Jonathan India will join us coming up in about 20 minutes. Carlos Estevez was just introduced to the media down at Kauffman Stadium and the bowels of Kauffman Stadium. He'll make his way up to the suite to sit down with yours truly. He'll join me coming up in about a half hour. And then, as I mentioned, J.J. Piccolo, the manager, Matt Quatrero, and Cole Reagan's all scheduled to stop by as we get you ready for Royals Baseball 2025. I'll be live from spring training coming up in about 2.5 weeks. And as I said to open up the show, man, this is going to be a memorable summer, obviously. Well, you know, not just because of what's going to transpire between the white lines, but also the fact that well, we've never had anything like this. This stadium's never had anything like this. And, you know, it's never happened even across the street. You know, Mahomes and Kelsey and Chris Jones aren't retired. So we're not having any reunions for their dynastic run. But this year will be the 40th anniversary of that 1985 championship and the 10-year anniversary of the 2015 championship. So I'm really looking forward to how all generations are going to have their moments, right? If you're 15, 20 and under, 15 to 20 years old, you know, coming out to see Bobby and Vinny and Salvi celebrate what was a magical run in 2024. Those are going to be your moments. Now, if you're 20 to 40, you know, when Haas and Moose and Gordo and those guys have their reunion, that 10-year reunion, which I think Hosmer slipped up and said that's going to happen in May, that the reunion's going to be sometime in May. You know, that's going to be for you, reminiscing about that 2015 championship. And then if you're above the age of, 45, 50? Yeah, that 1985 class. So the beautiful thing about baseball, the way that it's passed down throughout the generations, I think is going to be on display throughout this summer. And if you're interested, starting to look at which games we're going to be buying tickets to, man, they got a Moose bobblehead coming up in April, George and Sabes in May, an Eric Hosmer bobblehead in July, and then the Salvador Perez World Series MVP bobblehead coming up in September, replica rings for 2015, a replica jersey for 1985, and you have to think we're going to be celebrating Alex Gordon making his way into the Royals Hall of Fame, maybe even a Wade Davis and Kelvin Herrera as well. Well, as promised, joining us now here at Kauffman Stadium is your all-star shortstop, Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby, thank you very much for the time, man. How you been?
Yes, sir. Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the wedding, man.
Thank you.
Very happy for you and your wife. What's the snapshot? What's the picture that stands out, that's your favorite from that magical night?
Oh, man, there's a lot of photos, from Salvi being in the middle of the dance floor to just the wedding ceremony photo to the Whataburger to I think we had a team picture pretty much with everyone on the team that was there. So it was a lot of fun.
Have you seen, speaking of the Whataburger, have you seen your billboard
here? Yeah, driving home last night. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Pretty neat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the first time you were taken aback at a picture of you seeing a billboard or even a photo of you where you're like, oh wow, it's getting real?
I don't know, maybe seeing my first baseball card was really one that was like, wow, this is special. But then driving home, they got it real close to the highway and popping for sure. So
sure,
it's really cool just to see that up there, especially at this time during the Chiefs run at it right now, just seeing a little bit of Royal out there. So it's cool.
Salvi's in the middle of the dance floor. To me, Salvi's the cool, calm, collected adult that's normally hanging out at the wall with his family, but you're telling me he's...
Oh, everyone, all the dudes were on the dance floor. It was, yeah, it was a fun night. We enjoyed it. We had a blast.
How much did celebrating that help you, or preparing for that wedding, help you move past whatever pain there was at the way the season ended?
Yeah, anytime you get to see the guys, you got to kind of flush it and move forward. And there's ways you got to be motivated from what happened and what do we need to improve on, what do we need to get better at. And then but then there's also the times where it's like you can't look in the past, because that's why they call the present the present. It's a gift, and so you got to be where your feet are, and that's the biggest thing for us. And I think that we do a really good job as a team with that.
Were you angry after the season? What word would you use to describe how you were feeling?
I would say more unsatisfied, just because if we knew what our goal was, and our goal is to win a World Series. And yeah, some people say, oh, you made the playoffs, this and that. Yeah, but we want to do more, and we have the capability of the team we have, the pieces we had in this offseason, to do something really special. And so we're really excited for that. I know all the guys have been working hard this offseason, and so it's going to be a lot of fun.
The old saying, you don't know what you don't know. Now that you've at least marked that box of I've been to the postseason, what'd you learn? What'd you learn about what it takes to get there?
Yeah, it's just you got to be in tune to your work each and every day. Make sure your body's right. Make sure you sleep right. Everything's just right. And just make sure, because it's a long season and the days that count are in October. And so every day counts, but make the most of it when you're in October. But really it comes down to, it's the same game. It's, you can't really try to do too much, try to do too little. And I feel like I caught myself trying to do more when I really just had to go out there and be Bobby Witt Jr. and not try to take it to the next level. But yeah, that comes with it, but just, it's the same game. Just prepare the same way and just stay in that routine, which is the biggest thing for me, and just getting comfortable with that. I think the next step is here.
When you say maybe try to do at times a little bit too much, Does that not happen in the regular season? Did you not find yourself?
There's always times whenever you're trying to do too much. And so it's just kind of coming down to the work you do before the game, the preparation you have, because once the game starts, you just got to trust what you do and just take things one pitch at a time. And I think that if you just take that to every single game, no matter what it is, no matter it's game one, game 162, or in the postseason, the World Series, whatever it is. You just got to have the same mindset that it's the same game you've played since you're little. Go out there, enjoy it, because you never know when it's going to be your last one.
Yeah, your guy Derek Jeter always talked about, I never was hyperventilating, or I thought it was a big deal because I treated game two of the season like it was the World Series.
No doubt. Yeah. You got to take every day with a grain of salt, but also make sure you know that you leave it all on the field, because you never know when it's going to be your last. And so really enjoy every moment and just take it all in and capture it all in. So I think it was amazing. Everyone got to kind of experience the postseason. The atmosphere is just going into places and winning there was really fun, going out to Baltimore and doing that. And so just those little things, I think, will just keep piling up to what's next to come.
The great Bobby Witt Jr., kind enough to join us here on 96.5 The Fan. So what would you say as a leader inside that clubhouse, trying to get back to where you guys were and advance even further, what do you foresee as the obstacles? What are the landmines on the way there?
I think the biggest thing is just keep doing what we're doing, because we have something special, and now we know we're capable of winning. We know at the end of the series last year playing New York, we're like, we could have easily won that series. It's not always the best team that wins, the team who plays the best. And I think that if we just keep playing the way we are, we're going to beat a lot of teams. And so just the additions that we had, you look at our bullpen and you're like, wow, this is just get a lead for our guys, and this right. games are going to be over. And so it's just adding that and everything is going to be a blast. And then just our starting pitchers that we have, and then the lineup, it's going to be amazing.
I was watching Estevez's press conference. That dude's a horse.
Oh yeah.
I would not want to stand in the, well, you don't have to anymore. Yeah. Don't have to stand in the box against him. While you bring in Estevez, there are some important voices that won't be back. Adam Frazier going to Pittsburgh. Garrett Hampson just signed a deal. Will Smith, possibly. What's the key to maintaining the great clubhouse that you guys had last year without those voices?
Yeah, those guys were a huge piece of just how the team came together. And so just what they left for us, I think, will help the guys in the future just know how we can build a great clubhouse. And so it's just now all the guys know what we need to do just to have a great clubhouse. Like, it's like we're a family now, just from last year, just how close we are, like everyone going to the guys' weddings and just everyone keeping in touch, everyone making sure they're in tune. Like, we have all, like, we're all accountable for each other now. So it's like a big family. And I think when those, it's not, like I said, it's not always like the best team that wins. It's that team that's kind of plays the best and the kind of tightly wounded family in the clubhouse and out there on the field, because you're playing for your brother, you're playing for your team, you love one another. And so that's what we have and what's really special about here. And you see it with the fans too. Yeah. It's like we're all one big family.
Did you grow as a leader throughout the course of last season? If so, in what ways do you recognize that?
Yeah, I think just being able to just go out and play more and more games and just learn about the game and just know what we need to do in little times. Whenever you're in a rut, how do you get out of it? Whenever things are going good, how do you keep going good? And so it's just those little things, just to try to stay as consistent as possible. And I think that's been pretty much a key for me and everyone in our clubhouse, is how can we be consistent? How can we go out each and every night and perform to our best and help the team win?
Yeah. Playing every single day, everyone knows you're dealing with bumps and bruises, but to answer the bell, to play the most taxing position, at least outside a catcher, quite an example of leadership. And off of that, I'm wondering what Vinny, I mean, a lot of guys were banged up last season, but I'm wondering what Vinny proved to you guys, or how much more respect he gained from the way that he grinded it out.
Yeah, we knew it was kind of one of those things. Once he went down, it's like, all right, when he's going to be back? How long? And so just the work he put in, and all the guys are banged up. And sure. So it's just how can you manage that? How can you manage pain? And just how can you try to be out there each and every day to fight for your guys? And so that's a great thing that with our training staff and everyone, it's just from the coaches to everyone. That's how tight we are and how our group is. We all work together as one, because we want to try to make sure we got the 9 best guys out there each and every night and make sure they feel as good as they possibly can and go out there and try to win every game we possibly can.
A few more minutes with Royals All-Star shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. here on 96.5 The Fan as we broadcast live from Kauffman Stadium in Royals Rally 2025. I'm really looking forward to 10-year anniversary of that 2015 championship, 40th anniversary of the 1985 championship. You got a little taste of it last year with the 2014 guys. But as one of the leaders of this team, you, Salvi, and a bunch of other guys, what's it like when the past greats come back and have those moments.
Yeah, it's just hearing the stories and just being around that just gives you motivation. That's really all there is to it. It's you see those banners, and now the years are getting further and further away from when the last championship was here. So it's like now we need to add another one and add one to our own, because that's really now everyone's ultimate goal in that clubhouse. Everyone kind of got their feet wet. They know what the big league is about, and now it's time to, all right, what do we need to do to take the next step? What do we need to do to win a championship? And so that's really the ultimate goal, and that's what, when those guys come back in, it's great to hear from them, great to see them, and just know, like, all right, what do we need to do to take it to the next level? What did y'all do that year that took you to the next level? And it's really all those guys are saying, y'all have the team, y'all have the talent, now it's just go out there and play for one another.
Crazy to think that on one side of the parking lot, they're playing for a Super Bowl. On this side of the parking lot, the goal right now, I would imagine, is win the division, and the rest will take care of itself. But I know you were at the game, right? AFC title game. But I want to go back. I think you tweeted out like 1587 incoming going into one of their playoff games. And that was, you know, Kelce wasn't having a big year, but you had a feeling that Mahomes and Kelce were about to do their thing. What's it like watching their greatness?
Yeah, it's special for sure. Just seeing those guys do what they do each and every day, how they prepare, and even just like last week, Kelce didn't have the crazy game. They won the game, but he was just doing his part. The blocks he had, you don't really see just how he's running his routes, taking on three guys, and so it's just everyone's doing their job. I know that was kind of Belichick's little saying he had, but that's really the thing that everyone's got to do, is just do your job, and that's what they do so well each and every day. And so it's just really fun to see. Like, it's almost like their season is their spring training, just getting ready, and once they get to the playoffs, it's like, all right, now our season actually starts. So it's like, that's what we need, our spring training, get locked in, season, take it one day at a time, try to win as many games, and then once we try to get to the postseason and keep doing that each and every day, just make sure everyone just still does their job and does great things. And I think that just seeing that is another motivation. We got a lot of motivation just to try to win, and so that's what's so special about now being here in Kansas City, and just it's a winning town, and we want to keep it doing that for in blue.
It's wild to think that, you know, everyone in the stadium knows it's 15-87, and they can't stop it. I'm wondering, from an elite great athlete like yourself, what's it like when everyone in the stadium is expecting you, not hoping, they expect you to come through?
Yeah, that's what kind of comes down to. Pressure is a privilege, so you got to be able to take account for what you've done and what you're capable of doing, and you got to go out there, and that's where the work beforehand comes into play. That's what the off-season work comes into play. You just got to bust your tail each and every night, each and every day throughout the off-season, spring training, just so that when the season comes, you've already pretty much done that. You've gone through it mentally, physically, you went through the grind, and then so when it's out there, it's just muscle memory, and you just go out there and just do what you do, perform, and then everything else kind of takes care of itself.
How do you see it playing out next week?
I believe the Chiefs are going to win. Last week was like, I was kind of like, I don't know, but it's right. Just meant to be. And so I just think that you just got to stop Saquon. I think it's 100%. And I know the Eagles' defense is pretty good, but just what Andy Reid had under his sleeve is going to be, I don't think they will be able to handle it with Spags' defense. Mm-hmm. I think that they'll be able to stop Hurts and the run. And
are you going? Or are you going to head out to AC?
I thought about it, but I got to stay. I'm probably going to be out in Arizona, sitting in the same spot I was last year whenever they played in Vegas, so make sure, kind of keep it going.
Superstitious as a fan, not as a player, though, right?
Yeah, definitely, for sure, because of last week, I was sitting down in my seat for a while, and then I was like, they didn't score, or I was standing up their first drive when the Chiefs scored, and then I sat back down, and it didn't go well, so I was like, I got to stand back up. So a little superstitious when it comes to watching the Chiefs play.
You got to do it, whatever it takes.
Yep.
Whatever it takes.
No doubt.
To get the boys over the hump. Well, Bob, I'll be out in spring training in a couple weeks. I know you'll be there as well. I know you have a very busy day. Everyone wants to see you, so we'll let you go, and I'll thank you very much for your time.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
There you go. Bobby Witt Jr., kind enough to join us here on 96.5 The Fan. Jonathan India joins us after this.
You're listening to Josh Fernier, live from Royals Rally at Kauffman Stadium.
And the pitch. Swing and a line drive. One hop to Junior. He backhands. Long throw. Got him.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.